All right, let's open the Bible if you will, please. Book of Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment, then bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to. Don't you just hate these dead, dull, dry, dormant mission meetings? You say, preacher, I don't like this kind of meeting. Well, I'll tell you what, you can find plenty that's not this way. Amen. You won't have to go far. Church long, you can probably Google and find one. Amen. But it's so good to be saved. You know, if a young man, as a young man, especially a preacher, if he don't get some holy hatred for sin in his life, in his young days, now if I get crucified for what I'm saying, I've been shot at before, but there's a tendency as you get older to get mellow. You do learn some things. You do learn some things. You learn how to deal with things. I'm not critical, Brother Jimmy. You dealt with it well. I'm not critical when I say that. But if they don't get that fire, that hatred, that burning in their soul against sin while they're young, they'll never have it. Right. And most of the time, by midlife or later on, they never mention stuff like that.
Right.
Never preach that way. Always positive. Yep. I remind you, if you go out to your automobile tonight, if the negative cable is not hooked on your battery,
yep,
your motor won't crank.
That's right.
That might be why your motor won't crank.
Yeah.
You unhook the negative post.
Yeah.
How'd I get involved in all that, Brother Albert? Amen. 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 I appreciate the Lord. Thank God for what He's doing. One of the things that I enjoy traveling across the country. And Brother Jimmy said he was 40. I told his wife, I said, he sure must have robbed the cradle. And I'm not going to tell you what she said. But anyway, I appreciate young men. As I travel across the country, you know, one of the things, Brother Hardin, about getting older, and there's several of us in here in that age, I'm aware of the fact, and I know these men are, I'm not going to be around always.
Right.
I book every meeting now that I'm booking Brother Herbert next year with a question mark.
Yep.
Lord willing.
Right.
I don't know I'll be here next year. You don't either. I mean, 20-year-old man don't know that.
Right.
But I don't know how long it's going to run. But it thrills my soul to see that God is raising up a young generation.
Amen.
Amen. God's able. God's able even to bring Rogers out of northern country. I started to use that other word, but I don't want to start another civil war, so I just say up north. I believe I ought to tell this. I really do, preacher, and then I'll preach. Y'all just remain standing a moment. You've been sitting a long time. Brother Roger came to camp meeting. Now, I'm not being moan, preacher, but at first didn't like what he's enjoying tonight. Then he left there after meeting was over with. He got in it before it was over with. And he called me or wrote me one. I'm not sure you contacted me. And said that he wanted to come back to the Bible college.
Amen.
But he had some debts he wanted to pay off. I do believe preachers and everybody else ought to pay their debts.
Amen.
So we would come in January instead of starting in August with the regular school year. And it was not but a couple of weeks. I told him to pray and mind God and come on down to the August camp meeting. And during the process of time there, he contacted me again. He said, Brother Blue, I believe God wants me to come on.
Amen.
He told me what the problem was. He owed some debts and he wanted to pay them off. And Brother Roger came to college, paid his bills all in full, graduated.
Amen.
God taught him to live by faith in Bible college. I don't know why God wants me to say this, but I'm going to say this. God won't use a preacher that won't pay his bills. I don't want to listen to a preacher that won't pay their bills. We had a young man call me about 7 or 8 years after he graduated. Left a bill behind. And he said, Brother Blue, what is my bill? God's dealt with me about He never used me till I paid my bill.
Uh-huh.
I called him. He paid it off. And he's one of the most used young men that's come through our Bible college. I'm talking about busy, preaching. Great church. Great work of God. God's able. God honors faithfulness,
amen,
obedience, commitment, honesty.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's message number one. All right, I get you ready to preach on missions now. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18. Let's get verse number 17. Matthew 28, verse number 17. I'm going to back up to 16. The Bible said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God for this evening. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you again. You let me be born in America. Lord, you let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. Lord, thank you, Father, that I was introduced to old-time religion when I was but a child. All of my life, Lord, as far back as I can remember, I remember where the house of God was. Lord, I remember where the Bible stayed on the mantle there in the living room. I remember men of God, Lord, would come through our church and come home with us for Sunday dinner, our dinner during revival meeting. All of my life I've been affected by the work of God's grace and mercy and manifestation in the life of others. I thank you for it, Lord. Yet, Lord, make me conscious of the fact that multitudes around the world cannot make the statements I've just made. Many have no church to go to. They have no Bible to read. They have no preacher to preach to them. They live in either in darkness. They'll die there and lift their eyes in a Christless hell. If we who have the gospel do not get the gospel to them before it's eternally too late. Thank you, our Father, for the testimonies, for the missionaries, the presentations, for the preaching by Brother Moyes, for the wonderful singing tonight. Lord, I pray now you help me as thy servant. I believe I can say, Lord, I seek no fame, I seek no gain. But I want to magnify your name, I want to help your people through the preaching of the Word of God this evening. Lord, I want to bring to remembrance, and I want you to bring to remembrance these things that you have taught us, most of us, a long time ago in the Word of God. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do. Help me now, dear Lord, touch me and touch your people with the Spirit and power of God this evening. We'll praise you for what you do because I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening with a message for tonight from the Word of God. As I was preparing for the meeting I mentioned last night, God brought to my remembrance 2 Peter chapter number 1, also in chapter number 3, where our Lord mentions four times, Peter does rather in the Scripture, that He wants to stir up their minds by way of remembrance. And I spent quite a bit of time introducing the messages last night there. I'm not going to stay there. But I said to you, God has touched my heart. I've never did this in this series before in this manner. But last night, I preached on missions and the church. And I want to make this statement. I'm not opposed to mission boards at all. But the heartbeat of God for missions is a church ministry and church business. By the way, I'm not talking about the invisible. I'm talking about a local church. God's a local church God. This Bible's a local church Bible. Missions is a local church ministry. You better watch them guys that run the invisible church. You find most of them pay invisible tithes. They knock on invisible doors. Amen. Like I remember being as just a boy. I don't know how I remember this, but very fondly, I remember there was a man grew up there in our church, and of course he was a little older than I was, and the Lord called him to preach. I remember one night he got up to preach, and his daddy was a deacon. He sat over here on this side, and he looked over at his daddy and said, Dad, move over a little. The old gentleman, I say that respectfully, looked at him, kind of the question mark in his eyes, and he said, "Move over a little bit, Dad. Just move over a little bit." His daddy moved, and he said, "You might be sitting on one of them, but you're in spirit tonight."
Yeah.
One of them invisible members, amen. Boy, how to get off on that? I got to settle down here and preach. Amen. But I know what I'm talking about when I say this. Missions is the work of God through the local church.
Yeah.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, number 8, as I've given order to the churches. That order to the churches is missions. So we looked last night, I said to you that missions that will build the faith of the church, build the fire in the church, build the fellowship of the church, build the field of the church, build the finances of the church, build the future of the church, and build our final reward.
Amen.
But I want to preach tonight the second thought on missions and the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to make a statement. I don't make any apology for what I'm fixing to say. I don't believe you have a right to claim to be a New Testament church if you ignore the Great Commission. I don't believe we have a right to claim to be a New Testament Christian if we ignore the Great Commission. If you've got a group of people and claim to be a church and ignore the Great Commission, you're no more than a social club. A civic organization. But God does give us a Great Commission to the church, and I think we ought to take it personally, though God gives it to the church, and every one of us ought to be a part of that work that God has given the church in the work of the Great Commission. Now, I want to do this. I'll deal with it later on in the message, but I want to quote Mark's giving of the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, where the Bible said, "And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now I want to ask you a question tonight. Is that a choice or a commandment? It's not a choice. It's a commandment. Is it an option or is it an obligation? It is an obligation, not just an option. So missions is not a take it or leave it part of the work of God. Missions is the heartbeat of God. It's the life of the church. It's the hope of those that are unsaved. Only when I could go there in doing so. But tonight I want you to notice in Matthew's gospel, I want to deal with Matthew, Mark, and then I'm going to mention Luke and just mention Acts as well. Four times the Great Commission is given in the Word of God. Look at your Bible, if you will, please, in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 28. First of all, I want you to notice here that God gives to us great resources. All power is given unto me. May I say to you that word power, actually it's delegated power that's there, and he delegates God, delegate to his son delegate to the church. Amen. All power is given unto me. Everything we need, the power that we need to do what God calls us to do is ours through the resurrected Lord.
Amen.
And the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God did not give us a job to do and not equip us.
That's right.
But God equips the church to do what God told it to do by giving all power. And the word here really, boy, this is the word we need to get a hold of. All authority.
Amen.
All authority. I have an order that comes from a higher source than the government.
Amen.
I have an order that comes from a higher source than the brethren. I am a soldier in the army of the living God, and I have my orders issued to me by the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority. I am commissioned to God of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I want to deal that word commission just a moment. I thought about consulting with Brother Hall. I never served in the military. Some of you other men have as well. I know Brother Hall did. But commissioning is a military word. You commission the officers. Commissioning. I learned when we had the first Persian Gulf War with President Bush Sr., I learned this. When the commander-in-chief of the United States military forces issues an order, one of three things happens. Number one, it can be carried out fully. The announcements are made, mission accomplished. The troops come home. We saw that in Kuwait, did we not? The second thing is, if the commission's not been carried out fully, the orders have not been carried out fully, then the president can recall the troops and rescind the order. But if number one, it's not being carried out fully, if number two, the commander-in-chief has not rescinded the order, number three is this, it remains in effect to this day. Can I apply that to our great commission? No one would argue with me. It has not been carried out fully. It's not been fully executed. Number two, our commander-in-chief has not rescinded the order and called home the troops. So number three, the great commission still stands as authoritative over the church of the living God as it was the day our Lord gave it there to the disciples after His resurrection. So when I look at this, God gives the order and God gives all resources. I want to say this. 57 years I've been preaching a few days that God has met every need and supplied everything for the journey. It's not my warfare. It's not my battle. It's not my job. It's His. And God has equipped me with everything I need for the journey these years. When there's been a shortage, it's been because of my failure to appropriate what God provided for me in the battle of God.
Yes, sir.
Great resources. Whatever we need, I keep coming back to this. Let me just step aside for a moment from the text and say this. When our Lord said, upon this rock, I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That statement, shall not prevail against it, is not talking about defending territory. I'm not critical of your message, but it's not that in that statement there. It means that we have the authority and power to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the gospel's never met its match.
Amen.
Regardless of skin color, regardless of culture, regardless of language, I'm telling you, if a man of God feel the Spirit of God, will go and preach the Word of God, God will have somebody hear it, the Holy Ghost will convince somebody, then somebody will be saved, and God can build a church anywhere on planet Earth that God chooses to do so. We cannot blame God for all of the millions of unreached people on planet Earth tonight. My memory's not clear now, and it doesn't matter, but one of the men missing it today, tonight, I believe one of them missing it this morning as well. The 1040 window. That's not God's fault.
Right.
God didn't mark off a block across the globe and say, go anywhere in the world but there.
Right.
He did not say the gospel work anywhere but there.
Right.
Brother Roger, he did not say the gospel work anywhere but England.
Right.
He did not say the gospel work anywhere but in the former Czechoslovakian countries. He did not say the gospel will work anywhere but down in Colombia or in Russia.
Right.
Papua New Guinea. On down the line, I'm saying to you, the field is wide open, and God said everything that's needed to get the gospel there and let God work is provided for us, and the resources God gave to us in the Great Commission authorizing us to go into all the world.
Yes, sir.
And preach the gospel to every creature. I must move. Number two. Not only there's great resources in verse number 18, but in verse 19 and 20, with that great resources comes great responsibility.
Yes.
We often like to make the statement, no shortage of power. All power is given unto me.
Yes, sir.
Many of you remember Brother Ed Ballou, my cousin. I know others have said it before him. I'm sure it's been said as long as there have been preachers around. But Brother Ed used to read that. And he said, but no go, no low.
Yep.
You cannot claim the low, I'm with you. Unless you're going
right
into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
Look at verse number 19. The Bible said, go ye therefore. Verse number 19. Go ye therefore. All power, great resources, but great responsibility. Can I say this? And don't take me negative now. I like what's been going on tonight.
Amen.
But there's a whole lot more to the function and to the power of the Spirit of God than just shouting it out.
Sure, right.
Everybody understand me. If you know anything about me, I enjoy shouting it out.
Right.
I like it.
Yes.
If you don't like it when it comes through, shovel yours over my way. I'll take a double dose.
Yep.
I'll take a double dose of it. Amen. But we're not just anointed with the power of God to shout.
That's right.
Thank God for shouting. Shout when you can. Shout when you feel like it. Shout when you don't feel like it. Shout when you know nothing to think about or shout about. Just shout anyway.
Yeah.
Now you say shout on credit and I found out it's paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All resources. Great responsibility. Great resources, great responsibility. Go ye therefore.
Yes, sir.
For just a moment, I want to take the word go and build upon it. Let's see what God says in the Word of God. I want to enlarge upon this a little bit later. I want to mention it here in the context. First of all, there's the word go who.
Yeah.
Go who. Is he just speaking to these 11 apostles?
No, sir.
I get in trouble here, but is he just speaking to the Jewish nation?
No, sir.
Come on.
No, sir.
Those men were as much of the church as you and I are.
That's right.
Amen. He's speaking to the church. Go ye.
Yes,
you know, the Bible said this. The Bible talks in Matthew 21:28 about a certain man who had two sons. I like this. Listen carefully to the English. And he said unto them, go work today in my field. Now you know who that them represents?
Yep.
Every son the father had.
That's right.
Exactly.
Do you think that's just an analogy that God put in? No, 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 no. It's an example God put in there. That father speaks of God the Father. The Son speaks of we who are sons of God. So all sons are to be involved.
That's right.
The Bible said in Luke chapter 14, verse 21, and the master said to the servant, who you think that is? The master speaks of our God, and the servant speaks of we who are servants of the living God. God said, go, bring the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Every son of God, every saint of God, every servant of God is commanded to be involved in the work of missions.
Yes, sir.
But not only go who, go where. Matthew said, teach all nations. Mark said, all the world. Luke said, among all nations. Acts 1:8 said, to the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. You can't go to the wrong place.
That's right.
Right.
When Mark said, preach the gospel to every creature, that tells us you can't preach the gospel in the wrong place.
Yep.
Right.
All over. You can't preach the gospel to the wrong person.
That's right.
You can't. And God wants every creature to have a preacher. But we're to go anywhere there's a sinner.
Amen.
You know, the Father, God, is the first example of missions in the Bible that I know of.
Amen.
Adam and Eve sinned and God could have wiped them out and started over and still been God.
Yes.
But can I say this? He run into a problem. You say, what was it, preacher? He loved them too much to send them to hell without having an opportunity. So he left his home, went to their home, offered them in typology a salvation through the shedding of the innocent blood and the sacrificing of an innocent animal.
Amen.
God still loves sinners too much to let them go to hell, and you and I sit here and live our luxurious lifestyle in America. No burden, no battle. Oh, God, help us now. But I'm saying to you, go who, go where? And then, number three, go what? What do we go do?
Right.
Now, I want to make a statement. Please hear me. The job of the missionary on the foreign field is the same thing as the job of the church on the home field.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Great Commission, Brother Hall, it can be divided into three phases easily from our text here. I'm using words that rhyme for our memory's sake. But number one, the job of a missionary is to go what? Evangelize.
Amen.
I don't mean to be judgmental or critical, but I do mean to be straightforward with what I'm saying. Any missionary that puts that second place, the reaching a sinner second place, is missing the main point of him being a missionary.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Souls ought to be the thrust, the drive of that. Souls, evangelize. In your Bible, you notice as you look at evangelizing, here Matthew said, go teach. Mark said, go preach. Somebody might want to know what the difference is, and there is a difference.
Yes, sir.
Teaching deals with the intellect. Can I use some Georgia language? Teaching will learn you something. If you're far enough in Georgia, it'll learn you some things. But preaching lays a demand of the will. You see, you can't do much through ignorance.
Right.
But you can know it all and not put your will to action and your life to action. And you're as helpless as the ignorant man is as far as serving God is concerned. We're to go evangelize. We're to go teach. We're to go preach. And I like this. I don't know where it comes from, but I like when you look at the word preach, drop the first letter and you've got reach.
Yeah, amen.
Drop the first letter again and you've got each.
Yep. Yeah.
Evangelizing is preaching, reaching, eaching. I mean, preaching, reaching each one.
Amen.
I don't care how large the multitude is. Evangelism is personal business.
That's right.
Now, I preached, and you have two men, and I don't say this. I said to the glory of God, I have preached and saw the altar fill. God saves groups in that manner, but He saves every one of them on an individual basis. Every sinner must be brought under conviction by the power of God. He must make his own repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. God doesn't save collectively. He saves individually.
Amen.
But at the same time, we're not to skip any. God wants us to go and reach each sinner with the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the very bottom line. That's the beginning line of missions, is reaching sinners with the gospel.
Amen.
But then number two, after we evangelize, we're to baptize.
Yep. Yes, sir.
If you know anything about God and the Bible, you know baptism does not add to and it's not an essential part of you being saved. But on the other hand, I wouldn't give a dime a dozen for professions that won't get you in the baptistry. I used to pastor in the state of Tennessee. I'm a native Tennessee and I love Tennessee. I met some people, Brother Hardin, in Tennessee. What they had wouldn't get them in the baptistry, but they trusted to get them beyond the blue. I met some Brother Sutton, what they had wouldn't get them out of bed on a Sunday morning and take them to the house of God, and they depended on to get them out of the grave on resurrection morning and take them to heaven. You've almost got to have a degree in stupidity to be that done. What I had wouldn't get me out from under cover. I wouldn't trust it to get me out from under clods.
Amen.
I believe saved people will want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Baptism identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And then it identifies us with the local church.
That's right. Exactly.
That our Lord makes us a part of and puts us in in the worship of God. So evangelize, baptize, and then stabilize.
Amen.
Set them down, verse number 20, after they're saved, after they're baptized. And sometimes on foreign fields, you've got to do some training even before you baptize them so they understand what baptism's all about. I'm not trying to tell everybody worldwide to do it my way. I'm just laying out the principle laid out here. It's got to be there. But we're failing. We're such a failure in Baptist churches here in America. We want to spend time seeing them saved. We do want to baptize them so we can turn in the number.
Yeah.
But so many times we forget to take the time to disciple them and stabilize them. That's as much a part of the Word of God as any of the rest of it is. But there's great resources. There's great responsibility. But then number three, there's great reward.
Oh yeah.
Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. There's a promise of His presence. I'm with you. There's a promise of His perseverance, troubles and trials and tribulation. He's not going to run out on us.
That's right.
He's going to be with us and take care of us in the journey of God. Now flip to Mark Gospel. I want to deal with Mark quickly, and I'm going to deal with it in some detail and then just mention the other two and close, Lord willing, tonight. I'll be up by 12. Or let me change that. We'll be done by 12. No. Two people passed out. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. The Bible said, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And I read that verse because I wanted you to look up here at me and wonder what I was going to say about it. That's what the water dogs, that's what the Camelites, that's what the, I'm trying to get the right word, those baptismal regeneration crowd teaches and preaches, but they always use the first half of the verse.
Right.
He that believes is baptized shall be saved. They ignore the last half of it. Right in the middle of that verse, there's that Holy Ghost conjunction, but.
That's right.
I like it when God butts in.
Yes, sir.
God saw an opportunity for that verse to be taken wrong, so God said, don't put a period there, put the word but.
Amen.
He that believeth not shall be damned. The damned, and I use that scripture, are not the unbaptized one, but the unbelieving one. I want to give you several thoughts as we look at these verses. I want to break them apart. Look at verse number 15 again. And he, stop, look at me. When I look at that word he, I'm reminded that he is the master of missions. I have been so blessed of God. I said last night, my wife and I started giving faith promise 44 years ago. We're in our 44th year. I've been preaching on missions, Brother Hardin, now 40 years, not solid, but the last 25 years, it's just been about every week of my life. I've been preaching on missions. But for 40 years, I've been preaching what I'm preaching tonight and dealing with. In fact, I'm compiling some real old outlines to put some of this together because I felt like the Lord wanted me to use it again as I'm using it tonight. But I want to say this. My labor, Pastor, I'm honored that you would invite me up here. And when I'm here, I'm your servant. I'm under your leadership. You're my pastor for this week. But I want to say this with all respect. You're not really my master.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
Exactly.
I accept you being pastor, but you're not my master.
That's right.
I belong to another.
Amen.
I said respectfully, Pastor, but I surrendered to the mastership, the lordship of another long before I ever met you up there.
Amen.
In them cold mountains that January when it was just snowing.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the Word of God, but also pledge allegiance to the God of the Word.
That's right.
I am not in missions because it pays well. Teaching missions in the Bible college, the final question I put on one of the midterm exams, I believe it's midterm exam. Why have a mission conference? One of the students wrote the answer down, show Brother Blue how somewhere to preach. Then they put a little ha, and then he put the right answer down. I am in the work that I'm in as a bond slave.
That's right.
A servant. of the living God.
Amen.
I believe I need to say that. I've been approached. Please don't. I'm not pointing attention. I've been approached, I think, at least maybe a half a dozen times to go with a mission board. And I would have loved to as a young man because I saw opportunity to get some books printed and I had a printing ministry in New York. I'd have worked there. But then an opportunity began to be presented. God put it in my heart. Listen to me. If you're a board member, don't get upset at me. But God put it in my heart. Why serve the board when you can serve the Lord? Somebody, Brother Jimmy's got to if you don't have a board. Somebody's got to run the board. Somebody's got to work there. I'm not against that position, Brother Whitlow. Somebody's got to do it. But I'm telling you, God put it in my heart not to go with him. See, if I was, when I come up here like this, all of those that were my board,
right,
they'd be one level.
Yep.
It'd be my guys,
yep,
them other guys.
Yep. Yeah. That's right.
Hey, I'm human too. Come on, you can say amen.
Yes, sir.
If I was with a board, every wrong decision that any missionary of that board made, I got to account for.
That's right.
I could give you some other reasons. But I'm here tonight. I'm a servant of the Most High God.
Amen.
I'm His servant. I'm your servant. I'm the church's servant. I have no agenda except doing what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And what the pastor called me to do. Again, I'm not against board representative, anybody, a board member. I'm not against that. I don't mean to say that. I'm just simply saying to you, He is the master.
Amen.
Of missions. To all you missionaries, learn to be a gentleman.
Yep.
Boy, that slipped out on me.
Right.
Learn to be a gentleman.
Amen.
It's not sinful for you to be respectable. It's not sinful for you to have some manners and some courtesy.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
But remember, God called you.
That's right.
And if God calls you, I'm going to say this, if God calls you, God will get you where He calls you.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Don't let nobody try to talk you out of it.
Right.
But at the same time, don't be so stubborn if God reveals to you, you miss it, you'll go ahead and go where God tells you to. There are times, I believe my brother mentioned tonight, where a force of change of fields is a necessity.
Right.
Paul run into that, but God.
Right.
Paul said, I'm going back to Asia. And the Holy Ghost said, Paul being the hyperman that he was and I am, well, God, if I can't go to Asia, I'm going to Bithynia. And God said, no.
Right.
Paul gives us a great example of what to do when you don't know what to do. Go to bed and go to sleep. He woke up in the morning, God had told him what to do.
That's right.
But don't sell your allegiance to any pastor.
Right.
Or any person.
Right.
Or any board member. Just to please some man. Be courteous, be a Christian, be a gentleman, be all God wants you to be. But remember, He is the master. He's the one that called you. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that's sending you. He'll be the one that supplies your need. You can trust Him. He is the master of missions. Number two, look at your Bible. And He said, unto them. And look also in verse number, the remainder of the verse. Go ye. Now look at me. I don't know much about English, but I do know that them and the ye is the same crowd.
Right.
So there you have the men of missions. You know, I am convinced a simple definition of missionaries is this. Every saved person is either a missionary or they need one.
Yeah. Amen.
You can be a missionary across the street as easy as these fellows can across the sea.
Right.
I know there's a difference. I know that. But I'm simply saying, ye, every person. If you know anything about your King James Bible, ye, thee, God speaking there to the collective group, ye. Then individually, thee. Go ye. Go ye in the wild world. He said unto them, and then ye. God is speaking there to all His people. Go ye. We're commissioned of God. The men of missions, every saved person. Now, having said that, listen to what I'm saying. What we call missionaries When you're going to get technical about it, I do believe that there is a calling of God to be a missionary.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I believe if you do not know you're called of God, you ought to resign your position, get your job, and make an honest living.
Right. Yes, sir.
I mean that I'm not mean. I just believe that to be right.
Right.
But on the other hand, every one of us are to be involved in that ye, going somewhere, telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want you to notice third, and there's a master of missions, there's a men of missions, but there's a mandate.
Yes, sir.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, may I say, that's not a choice.
Amen.
It's a commandment. We're not here because somebody had a good idea that this would be a good way to have a meeting. You know, missions meeting for the carnal people is foolish.
Yes, sir.
You know what we're trying to do here this week? We're trying to raise money that we could use here at home so we can send it off somewhere. We're trying to get workers that we need here at Island Ford to surrender and go somewhere else. To the carnal minded, it's foolish, but to the spiritual minded, it's wise.
Amen.
It's the will of God. Then I want you to notice the margin or the measurement of missions going into all the world. I've been covering that. Going into all the world. Matthew said all nations. Mark said all the world. Luke said among all nations. Luke 14:23 said highways and hedges. And Acts 1:8 said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part there. Again, I emphasize, anywhere there's a sinner, somebody needs to take the gospel message to them. Then number five, not only there's the master, the men, the mandate, the margin of missions, but there's the method of missions. I'm repeating myself, but the Bible said, and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now, I want to make a statement. I know there's great value in teaching, and by the grace of God, I may have done it as a young novice, but you never hear me knock down anybody who's truly teaching the Word of God. But I want to say this. Teaching never has been and never will be and never can be a substitute for preaching.
Amen.
I think I said it a while ago, teaching increases your intellect, but preaching lays a demand at the will to do something about what we learn. Then I want you to notice number six. There is the message of missions. Go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. I added a note to my notes last night, Brother Shepherd. I want to work it out. I probably won't do it this week. But I got the church and the commission. I got the commission and the missions and the commission, mission and the church, mission and commission. I'm going to do one on the missions and the cross. Missions is more than crossing a sea. Missions is seeing the cross.
Amen.
You can cross the sea and never be any different than you are right here in America.
Right.
But if you ever see the cross, it will change you and your life and put a power in you. Preach the gospel. You know what the gospel is? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That still works.
Yes, sir.
I want to say this, and I'm sure I've said it here before, but I want to repeat it. The gospel of Christ, Brother Hall, the gospel has never met its match.
That's right.
The grace of God has never met its match. Some years ago, we had a plumbing leak under my house. I got a young man to come and help me. We crawled under the floor and wallowed in the mud. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was dust till a water leak. Now it's a pile of mud down there. We wallowed in that. Finally, we got through. He left. I went back up into the house, and I changed my clothes and got on some decent clothes. I got muddy clothes and went on about whatever I was doing that day. I come in here that evening or the next evening one, and my wife said to you, "You ruined that T-shirt." Now, I answered her. It didn't sound polite, but she didn't take it wrong, and I didn't mean it wrong. I said, "So what? They make them every day. You can buy a new one for a couple of bucks." Then here's my wife's story. Watch me. I know my wife. Picture your wife there. My wife said, "I washed it twice. I just see my wife, Brother Bill, going there to laundry in the laundry room, the washing, stand in front of the washer. Look at that, probably put some stuff on it, you know, and put it in there and turned it on. It runs its cycle. She goes back in there and pulls it out and looks at it and watch me, my wife does it.
Yep.
Said it again. Pulls it out a second time and looks at it. Walks over to the garage door and throws it out there where I call my grease rags. I'm glad I can report to you tonight. No sinner has ever been brought through the power of the gospel and the grace of God. Brother Herbert and God look at it and say, it didn't work. I got to run it again. There is a fountain filled with blood. Draw from the manual's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that blood. Who's
lost? Yes, sir.
There's no sinner going too far. No sinner going too deep. No sinner too wicked. No sinner too ungodly. No sinner ever committed too many sins. I don't care who your parents were. I don't care what your past is. I'm telling you, the grace of God is greater. And the blood of Christ cleanses deeper than the stain. Of sin,
yes, sir. Thank God.
Is gone. But lastly, there's not only the master of missions of men, the missions of mandate of missions, the margin of missions, or the measure of missions. There's a method of missions. There's a message of missions. But there's the magnificence of missions.
Yeah.
Amen.
He that believeth is still saving power. Souls will be at the judgment seat of Christ going into heaven by the number because of missions. 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 Now, I know we got that crowd that believes, you know, whatever's going to happen will happen, whatever happens or not. But I'm telling you, God gave man a will.
Yes, sir.
But He gave a word that's stronger than man's will.
Amen.
A word that can break down that will.
Yes, sir.
A man that can, a power, I should say, a word that can take somebody who said, that's not for me.
Yep.
And make them to the point they start seeking if I can use that word
right for
it. Some of you sitting here, there's a time in your life when you would have made fun of a meeting like this.
That's right.
But now, because of the changing, life-changing power of the gospel. The magnificent change of God's grace.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
In your life. Luke said in Luke chapter 24, I'm just going to quote it, verse 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And I like this one. I don't know what some of the people are going to do with it. But verse number 47 of Luke 24. And that repentance I believe that's in your Bible if you've got a King James. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. Acts said, and you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look at me, I'm through. That's His last command. He said that, if I could use terminology we understand, stepped on the cloud and went to glory. Are you with me? His last words, His last command should be our first concern.
Amen.
Many of you have stood by the bedside of your loved ones and listened with a straining ear to the last words.
Right.
Oh, that God would touch our hearts until we'd strain our spiritual ear toward heaven.
Yes.
And hear Him say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. teaching you to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And that repentance or remission of sin shall be preached in His name among all nations. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. I said last night, God, trouble my heart just to stir us up these nights. Things we've already heard, we've already known. Last night He stirred us about missions in the church. Tonight it's missions and the Great Commission. If we bypass the commission, we bypass the Lord's work. That great church at Jerusalem became a late church because it ignored the Great Commission.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God shut her down and moved His operational headquarters down to Antioch. Some of the brethren don't like this preacher, but God would not let the Jerusalem church print our Bible. Write our Bible. Anybody going to ignore missions, God ain't going to trust you much of anything. That unknown church down there at Antioch took the Great Commission to heart.
Yep.
And God sent out the first missionaries. And our Bible came from the Antioch church.
That's right.
Amen. The Great Commission is God's last words. God help it to be our first concern. Let's stand together. Ladies, if you'll come. Pastor, why don't you just come on and close as you want to, please. The altar's open. They're going to come and play. Pastor's coming.